Hello, this is James Cox with the Martial Arts Lifestyle. This is our episode number 16. And today I have with me Professor Tony Forbes-Stokes, more known as George Forbes-Stokes. We only call you Tony in the martial arts school?
Family, friends.
Okay, yeah. I know back in the day I called your job a few times to look for you, and I asked for Tony Forbes-Stokes, and they didn't know who you were. But they had a George there, so I did get a hold of you eventually. But, you know, Mr. Forbes-Stokes is like one of my original students. He's definitely my highest ranking student, an eighth degree black belt. I'll let him tell you more about his journey and somewhere around probably 30 years of training underneath me as martial arts and as a martial arts student. That's just crazy, man. I'm honored and privileged to have him here and to have somebody be that committed, that loyal, that dedicated, devoted to martial arts, to our lineage, to our connection for near three decades is pretty crazy. Now, I know he had started with his son in our class, and he sat on the sideline as a parent for a while, and then he became a student, and he's worn a lot of different hats with me here. But, you know, to continue training in the same place under the same instructor for that long, man, this was definitely an interview that I had written down that I wanted to happen as soon as possible, is to be able to interview my longest reigning student, if you will. So, Mr. Forbes-Stokes, thanks, welcome, and introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about your martial arts journey, if you would.
Well, my name is Tony George Forbes-Stokes. If you call me on the phone, you ask for George, I usually hang up right away because I know it's some kind of credit card or business.
Right.
But my martial arts journey actually started when I was 14 years old. So that's 52 years ago. I'd moved from Dallas, Texas to Cincinnati, Ohio, and was getting ready to go into ninth grade, but I was kind of shy and introverted, so my dad thought maybe some martial arts might help. So he signed me up for a martial arts school. I think it might have been a Kempo school. We didn't do much kicking, but we did a lot of squatting stances and punching.
Sounds Kempo.
Didn't last very long, so probably 3 months. My last time there, we were learning how to defend against a bamboo staff attack. So we were in a squatting stance, and the instructor didn't speak much English. But he would come and he'd try to hit you in the head, and you had to do a sort of a deflection block. And I wasn't deflecting block very well at all.
You were blocking with your head?
Forearm, straight on. Okay. So I had some significant bruises when I left. So I quit after that. But I was going through a bookstore, and I found a book called Jukado. This is 1968. In 1968, Jukado, the guy's concept was training under judo, jiu-jitsu, karate, and aikido. And so I bought the book, studied it, and I tried the techniques on my brothers and the neighbors. They didn't much like it. But, you know, that was about it. So I quit for a long time. I graduated high school, college up in Ohio. Had a creative writing degree scholarship when I was up there. But I really didn't know what I wanted to do. So quit after a year of college, moved down to Georgia, started working down in Georgia. My family had moved down there. Earned some money and took off and traveled around, hitchhiked, worked for aircraft companies, lived different places. Went back and went to college at Texas A&M. And if you want to talk about tradition, that's something interesting, to go from a college up in Ohio where nobody knew your name, then you go to Texas A&M, and the traditions were very strong there. So I was really impressed. Got a degree in agricultural engineering. Wasn't sure how I'd use it, but I was just learning everything. Mm-hmm. My dad operated a ranch in Opland, Texas, so I moved to Opland and helped him get his ranch started. Then I moved into town and got married and had kids.
Mm-hmm. So been Abilene ever since, huh?
Been Abilene ever since.
Yeah. Yeah,
I was actually born in Abilene, but 10 days later, after being born, I told my mom I can't take it.
So, you told her, huh?
Yeah.
Let's get out of here.
But my son saw the Ninja Turtle movie, and he really wanted to be a karate like a Ninja Turtles. And after reading that book, Jukado, my concept was maybe start them in gymnastics, then go to judo, jiu-jitsu, then go into karate. So she started calling around, and she found a school that taught Kajikimbo. And I said, oh, that's exactly what I'm after.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
For him. So taking him to classes for a year, then after a year, I decided to go ahead and join in. So it was real helpful. And round up, the whole family was involved in Kajikimbo for a while. They all were. But they kind of lost interest.
Your son, John, he was one of our first youngest students ever.
Yes.
I recall that. Not only his size, but his age. Because we didn't have, you know, we teach three-year-olds now, mm-hmm. but we didn't then. And he was definitely one of our youngest initial martial art members, I remember. Yeah.
So that's kind of how it got into Kajikimbo.
And then you became a student. And
yes.
been doing it ever since, right? Did I hit it right, about 30 years?
Yeah, 1991, so that'd be 31 years.
Yeah, man, well, congratulations. That's awesome. Yeah, well, I really appreciate it. You know, I've learned from you as well with all of the things that we've done. So, you know, with all the learning, the experiences, what do you think you've learned the most from your martial arts that's helped you outside of the karate school, like in the real world?
Well, there's the old story of the monk he went to from India, and he's, I guess it was a Buddhist story. And he found that the monks were always very scared. They were getting attacked a lot. So he started working on the strength. And, you know, it's just kind of, how can you be peaceful if you're always scared somebody's going to steal your lunch money?
Right, right.
And so that thing, that by itself was one of the more important things is your strength, your health, abilities, and the self-defense. You know, you kind of walk around with your head up high. And not worry that, well, it's not so much not worry about getting attacked, but it's not really that big of a concern. You can go out and take chances. So that's mm-hmm. one of the things that I've enjoyed and I've learned from it. But I've always just liked exercising. So that's really kind of the big thing that I enjoy about being involved in Kajikimbo and the martial
yeah.
arts.
The functional fitness, right? I mean, you can only walk on a treadmill so long, right, without, you know, being bored to death there. So you're getting the complete fitness and then the confidence. Yeah, you know, I heard it before that it's getting to the level where you don't feel like you have to prove yourself to anyone, so you're confident, you know, being at peace but prepared.
Yes.
Right? You know, Grandmaster McGann calls it having the warm guards,
mm-hmm.
not being cold, not being hot, but there in the middle. Yeah. When I was saying that you've worn a lot of different hats because you've been a student for a long time, you were a parent, your whole family was involved, you know, so initially you were just the parent with the kids in class. You did some competition. I remember you traveling with us. This is when we traveled all over, you know, doing point tournaments and stuff, and then as well as being an instructor. You know, you still teach. You still teach a class, you know, for me and for our students and for those that are lucky enough to be able to attend. You've gained a lot of self-knowledge on your own. So there's a lot of memories and a lot of experiences. What do you think from these three decades and wearing those four different hats are some of your most cherished memories that come to mind?
Well, over 30 years, there are a whole lot of them. But I think probably one of my best memories is when I finally took my test for black belt. It took me 9 years. I wasn't in a big rush. And
that's good, huh?
Yeah. I wasn't. The path is what I really liked. But after 9 years, the test for the black belt, my father got to watch it.
Mm.
And here it was. It took me 68 to 2000. It took me 32 years from when he first introduced me to, you know, martial arts to actually watching me get my black belt.
Oh, that is awesome.
I thought that was pretty cool.
So. Yeah. You know, I don't remember that it took you 9 years. That's good, though. I, you know, I sometimes get more nervous at the people that do it in three. You know, now it depends on their background. You know,
mm-hmm.
some people come in with a lot of other experience. Were we on the North First Academy then?
Oh, I started at the YMCA,
with the large group, though,
then
right?
GB Daniels,
yeah.
and then Butternut.
Yeah, well, yeah, we were
North
we were,
First.
We were all over. That's cool. Yeah.
Part of what I enjoyed in the beginning is the classes were 2 hours long, but also it was all ages and all belts. So if I didn't feel like going to class and my kids did, then yeah, I'd go to class with them. Or if they didn't feel like going to class and I did, then yeah, we all went to class. So, and they outranked me for a long time.
Yeah. They remind you of that?
But the other thing too is, we didn't try to get consumed. We if they wanted to go into baseball or basketball, we kind of dedicated our training to that. And then once that was done, we went over to martial arts. So it's really hard on these families that are trying to do two or three things at once. And I don't know if you can really kind of drives the families crazy.
Yeah, I see it all the time. I'm a little partial to martial arts for many reasons, but I see it all the time. Parent coming in, sorry we're late. We just got little Johnny out of baseball. Oh, we gotta leave early though, because then he has piano. I was like, man, how many things are you guys doing, right? I think it is a thin line, right? It's cool to have these different experiences to kind of find maybe what you have more of a passion for, to then dive deeper into that one thing maybe eventually. But yeah, you gotta be careful about burnout though. So you took it with a good balance. Yeah, that's good. So nowadays, what do you do to grow and improve yourself? Again, I know you've done a lot of other training as well, besides Kajigenwa, besides the things that I've taught you. You've continued to grow and learn and improve. So from whom and where? Where are you getting study?
My favorite thing now is Muay Thai, and I like following a lady that lives in Thailand now. She has a podcast and a website. It's called Preserve the Legacy, and her name is Sylvie Van Douglas Itu. I probably messed up that name
It
totally.
sounded good, though. It sounded like it was correct.
She small fighter, but I think she's had over 300 fights, and she's
Wow.
almost fighting twice a week.
Still.
And she'll go around and she'll train under different legends, and they'll videotape it, and you can watch what she calls the Golden Age fighters. And so, after you've done this for a while, you got a foundation, you can kind of see what these other fighters are doing. So, the clinches, the. So, I watch that, and what I like doing, my favorite thing is to hit the heavy bags and work out on the mitts and do it to music. So, I'll watch that, and if somebody wants to join me, and when they want to sweat, then I'll show them what I'm doing.
Yeah, no, that's cool. Yeah. A little multi-purpose there, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Did the training seminar with Gunsok, who was here
Yes.
this last. He's going to come back down April 23rd. He'll be back down here. That's, man, definitely the best Muay Thai I've ever been able to see and train with. Dude's amazing. A legend himself. Yeah, Muay Thai is nice. Tough.
Yes, it
Tough
is.
and rough, for sure. I believe you've witnessed and probably helped me with just about every black belt testing. Nowadays, we have a good flow of beginner to intermediate to advanced students, that are cycling through, and we have two different schools. So I try to still do one black belt testing a year, and there was probably some many years early on where we didn't have one every year. There might have been a year where we did twice in a year, and then we skipped 2 years or something like that. But we're pretty consistent now with our black belt testing. Personally, it's a chance for me to kind of look at my product and my work and my life and my legacy. And philosophically, we would sure want each group of black belts to be improved, not to have watered down. But they're different because they're also different black belts every year that we promote a group. Or generation of black belts, if you would, right? They're a different group of people as well, kind of living in a different time, a different era, generations and black belts. And they've evolved with our martial arts as we've kind of changed on what we've done. But just kind of wanted to get your opinion on what's changed the most from the new generations of black belts compared to those that we promoted 20 and 30 years ago.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we are the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
Don't know that the quality is still there, and I think some of the techniques and what is more significant in the training now than was before, but it still seems like there are some bumps and bruises along the way. Mm-hmm. And I remember some of the early black belt trials, there were some bumps and bruises there, but they earned it. And I think the black belts I've seen nowadays, it's kind of hard. You always think, you know, I trained harder than that when I was younger. Yeah. But still, it's a transition. It's almost like they're beginning again. And I don't have any problem at all with what's being taught and the black belts that are coming out now.
So. Yeah, good, good. Well, I sure like to hear it. And that's my whole goal, too, is that quality, good quality is still there. Just some produced a little differently.
Yes.
Right, you know, I know we've gotten away. I've backed away from so much memorization. I'm not saying that's really a bad thing. Definitely worked our mind, but it's kind of like that point you said. In the old days, we had a lot more memorization of drills and forms and routines. I mean, so much. People wouldn't even believe it. I would sound like I was exaggerating if I sat here and told you the amount of drills that I had to learn to become a black belt. So I don't even want to say it, because people wouldn't believe it, really, to be honest. And how did I learn those? And how do I still know them, you know, inside and out, backwards and forwards? Well, it's because of the repetition that my instructor did and that I did early on with you guys. Mm-hmm. And we did have a lot less classes, but they were a lot longer. And we did a lot of the same thing over and over, right? Just anchored those basics in. And we did them to strive for perfection. Where now we have less memorization, we kind of moved on to the philosophy of a performance-based, and we've added more modern MMA. So there is less to focus on having to memorize, but hopefully more to be able to understand, to apply, you know. Yeah, I always want to kind of think, you know, what can I do differently with this next generation of black belts? Not that we have to do things different, but how can we improve and make them better? Plus, you're always dealing with people, and they all have strengths and weaknesses, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So one word is the whole tradition, and it's that debate on, you know, the original traditional way versus the new modern way. That goes with everything in life, not just in martial arts. But what's your thoughts on that, and what's better?
Well, this one, it's the hardest question or topic that you brought up, and I actually had to look up on the internet the definition of tradition. And tradition for martial arts includes everything. And it is all the way back from Greco-Roman wrestling, boxing, grappling, judo. Anything that's martial is a traditional martial art. And how you apply it, it's always continuing to grow. But it's like different points of time, it kind of gets codified. You have to do it this way. Mm-hmm. You have to do the squatting stance with the punches. You have to block like this. And there are different reasons, but over time, those reasons change. And so, to me, it's the old traditional way is always changing and is always modifying. And the danger nowadays is people watch something on YouTube and they go out and try it, and anybody can say that they have got a black belt and make up whatever they want to as far as where they got it from. But good tradition usually is something that's passed from person to person, and you can usually track your lineage. And that's what I kind of like with this school, is it's important that you know what your lineage is. Mm-hmm. But over time, it is going to change. And traditional martial arts, that's the way it is.
Yeah, everything changes, mm-hmm. and it should. It's going to anyway. But yeah, to remember where it came from, who put it together, why, still the same principles. You still can get there, just maybe in a different way, right?
Yes.
So it's all kind of perspective on tradition versus modern. I think sometimes when I think of it those ways too, it's doing the same thing differently, which just kind of helps with boredom as well and setting new goals, yes. Right? So we're not necessarily doing the same thing the same way. You're doing the same thing, but you're doing it slightly different. Yeah, as you kind of learn there. But so you have this longevity. You've been training a long time, you know. Now I deal with, of course, inquiries on martial arts every day. Somebody will email or message or call and, you know, running into people outside. And I have people that will bring their kids. And, of course, you know, let's get the whole family involved, mm-hmm. right? So I'll look at the parents sometimes. Well, what about yourself? Have you considered doing martial arts? And it is very common to get the, oh, no, I'm too old for that. Some of these guys are younger than me, and they're literally saying they're too old for that. You know, it's like, well, too old. I mean, so what is too old for martial arts? How would you overcome that objection? I mean, can someone train in martial arts or begin it over age 60?
I think, well, get your doctor's advice.
Yeah, but disclaimer there.
They're always talking about it. You need to get up and move. You need to get up and walk or do something that's moving. I believe somebody could go around and they could probably find a school that suits their needs. And I've heard of teachers teaching how to defend yourself with walking canes. Mm-hmm. And as long as you're up and moving around, you're training. So you might want to train smart. You know, you might not want to get thrown on the ground a whole lot if you're over 60 with brittle bones.
Yeah, don't start a UFC career.
Yes, exactly.
Right, right.
But I think it's an excuse to kind of take the easy way out. So keep moving. You can, especially if you find somebody that you can partner up with. If you got somebody, if you're over 60 and you partner up with somebody else over 60 and you both come in, then you can drill. And kind of keep mindful that, you know, I don't hit the ground like I used to. In fact, I personally can't do a shoulder roll like I used to. Because I stand up and all of a sudden I'm dizzy. Mm-hmm. So you just have to modify what you're capable of and just be smart about it. So.
Yeah. But it's possible.
It is possible.
You think the same thing. I agree that people, we all tend to make excuses on things at times. And maybe it's because they don't want to get out of that comfort zone to challenge themselves. But then when you think about the time, because the time is gone, yes. And you sit here and made an excuse for 15 years that you were too old to do martial arts, and you would have had 15 years of improvement and experience and, you know, man, how could it have changed or improved your entire life instead of just procrastinating and putting it off? It's that same thing of, you know, I'm going to get in shape next week. All right, I'm going to start working out instead of just doing it. But, yeah, excuses, right?
Yes.
Yeah, dime a dozen. So what's your secret to the longevity or your advice for other people, you know, to stay with it, the stick-to-itness, I guess?
This one, the cartoon where you'll have the devil show up on one of your shoulders,
right,
and try to convince you not to do something. Yeah, and then the angel shows up on the other side and tells you it's all good. Well, what I do is these two will be arguing, and I'll go grab my bag and walk out the door. And it's like, I just go do it. So that's just kind of how I just try to stay out of it and just keep plugging ahead.
Yeah.
And not quitting. So
I love that, man. That's simple. That's simple. So not really listening to the devil or the angels so much as you just do it. The Nike philosophy, just do it, right? Yeah. Or else you're going to talk yourself out of it. You'll justify it. So many things, many ways, you know. Again, we are all guilty, man. But time is valuable and time is of essence. And when it's gone, it's gone. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to waste it. We want to be fulfilled and live fulfilled and all of that stuff. Yeah. Well, Professor Forbes Stokes, that's pretty much what I wanted to say, man. Again, I will say that I really admire and appreciate you and your loyalty and your commitment. And my students are a lot of who they are and where they've become, the successes of them, because in part of you, you know. So I appreciate that, you know. And I always put Professor Shel Andrews kind of with you, because you guys are like a Batman and Robin kind of team there with a lot of things y'all do. So any closing thoughts or anything to add to it?
No, as far as what martial arts has done for me, this whole podcast is just one thing. The devil on one side saying, no, you're too tired. you have a hard time talking in public, and the angel over here saying, just go ahead and do it, get it over with, whatever else. So one step in front of the other, and I was here at the door. So
yeah.
I think they still might be arguing.
but you won, right?
I'm here.
Yeah, and you have another little thing accomplished and overcame. And I think your words can impact someone else. I think your insight can motivate and inspire other people. And once this is out, it's going to be out there forever. So let's continue to do what we do.
Okay.
All right, Tony, thank you. Appreciate you guys, and we'll see you soon.